Good day, everyone. Welcome again to the Wings Radio program, where we hope you will be uplifted and encouraged by what you hear. We want to inspire you through Christ to fly in the power of God's Word through the challenging times in your lives. Be sure to visit the blog page for prophetic words, updates, and godly inspiration at www.wingsofprophecy.com. Now here is your host, Glenda Linkus.
Hello, believers. Welcome to the Wings Radio Show. I'm your host, Glenda Linkus, and today we are going to be talking about the subject of being willing or unwilling. As you might guess, I know a little bit about prison. Before my husband, I knew less, but still more than I wanted to know. Now, though, with my husband who is in prison, I'm learning about his life in prison as I live it with him. It's a different world, prison, with its own rules, many of which are unwritten. And ironically, entry into that world occurs only after breaking the written rules of this world. In writing the show this week, I couldn't help but think of one of the unwritten rules of that world. In prison, if you're not going to be a victim, if you're not going to become a target, you have to at least be willing to fight. You have to at least be willing to stand up for yourself. You don't have to be big and strong. You don't even have to be that good at fighting. You just have to be willing. Because in prison, there are those convicts who are much stronger, who are good at fighting, and when they see that willingness to fight, they almost always step in, assuring victory. And more often than not, without even a single punch being thrown, because they were willing, the fight isn't necessary anymore. In this world, the one in which we live as believers, the rules are written. And some, at least, are not too different from those in prison. And that's what I want to talk to you about this week. Willing to fight. Willing to be free from the prison that is the world. I want to go back to a week or two ago when I received an email from a woman after I had posted a couple of new words. Let me read those words real quick for people who have not read them yet. The first one was on February 3rd, and it was called Never Ashamed. My people, I am a just God. Does my word not say the foundations of my throne are righteousness and justice? Whenever my enemy steals from one of my children, I already have a plan to get back for you what was taken. For my people shall never be ashamed. Only believe. Restoration is yours. As y'all know, he also gave us a word that we were in a season of restoration right now. Okay, and then on February 8th, he gave me a word called The Battle Begins. Man your posts, my great warriors, for the time has come to fight for what is rightfully yours. I have given you much in my word, but many of you do not yet understand how to receive my gifts. And then he told us, believe, pray, and understand. And he said, you must fight and take what is yours, just as the Israelites did. Without faith, it is impossible to please me. I desire you would start there. Do you really believe I will do what you ask of me? Really believe? Do not pray once and walk away, but sit in my presence. And he talked about that. Do you truly understand what you're asking me for? What may come with it into your life? Can you carry the load? Are you ready to do battle? That's a kind of an overview of that word. Okay. So I get this email not long after that second word. It might have been the next day. That said, the first three words said we didn't have to do anything but stand back and watch God fight our battles. Now you say we have to fight. And went on to say that the Israelites didn't have to fight, that they only had to believe God. That's not true. Let me tell you why it's not true. If you go to Joshua chapter 8, that's not what God said at all. Verse 1, and the Lord said to Joshua, fear not, neither be you dismayed. Take all the people of war with you and arise, go up to Ai. See, I have given it into your hand the king of Ai and his people and his city and his land. It didn't say you don't have to fight. He said, take the people of war with you. I'm going to guarantee the victory. That's what it said. Okay, and the other thing is, the first word, never ashamed, said, whenever my enemy steals from one of my children, I have a plan to get back what was taken. The second word, the battle begins, said, you have to fight to take what's rightfully yours. Not take back what the enemy stole, but take. That's it, as in take the promised land. That's what we're going to talk about now. We're talking about the willingness to fight. The children of Israel, they had a specific journey that they went on, didn't they? This was kind of the journey of God's chosen people. Moses was raised up by God, okay? God always raises up a deliverer, okay? For us, our deliverer is Jesus, okay? The people's part was they had to choose to believe, like God told us in that word, believe. Do you really believe me? The Israelites had to choose to believe, to put their faith in the deliverer, to follow him, to believe that that deliverer heard from God and he was going to lead them out of bondage, okay? So then they go into the wilderness. Every Christian must pass through the wilderness on the way to their promised land. Now, if you're not trying to claim the promised land, what God's got for you, that's fine. You don't have to go through the wilderness. Now, I'll tell you something about the wilderness, and y'all know this is all in my book, The Wilderness Companion. The land of lack is in the wilderness. The land of not enough. The land of sickness is in the wilderness. Now, if you read all through Exodus, you'll find all these places. We are also sometimes chastised in the wilderness. God will take you through the wilderness to get displeasing attitudes and bad attitudes out of you so that he can take you up higher. He did that to me. Apparently, I had a bad attitude. So we're chastised in the wilderness. We're taught not to put our faith in ourselves and our own abilities, and we're not to put our faith in gold. Remember the golden calf? Okay, so you go through the wilderness, you go through the land of lack, you go through sickness, you're chastised, you go through all this stuff, and you come up to the Jordan River. You're just about to step into the promised land. The promised land for you is whatever God has promised you or whatever you're believing him for. The Jordan is the line. It's the threshold. It is the threshold to your promised land, and that's where we are now, okay? The word Jordan, I believe, means to descend, to go under, to go lower. So here's the Israelites, and they're getting ready to go across the Jordan and go possess the land. Here come back the spies and say, oh yeah, it's all full of milk and honey and all that, but the people are huge, really big people, and all the cities are fortified, you know, and they all this bad report. And Joshua said, let's go get it. God said we could have it. Let's go get it. Go Joshua, right? And Joshua actually ended up getting to go into the promised land and lead the fighting there because of his courage. He became Moses' replacement because of his great courage. And the spies said, this is a land that, you know, eats up its inhabitants and all that. And those men that brought back the bad report, they died of a plague before the Lord, because God wasn't going to have any more of that. And all the people who believed the bad report and complained and murmured and carried on that night, he said, that's it, I'm not taking none of y'all into the land. Well, he didn't say y'all, but I'm not taking none of y'all into the land. I'm going to take your kids, and that's it. So they had to wander the wilderness for another 40 years. So here we are now in modern-day Christianity, and we are standing on the bank of the Jordan. We're in the end of the end times. And what God has promised us is just on the other side of that sparkling river. And the question is, are you willing to fight to get it? Because if you're like the woman who sent me the email, if you think you're going to take it from your armchair, I'm sorry to inform you that's not the way you take the land. I'm sure the Israelites would have loved to have hung out in their armchairs and just, you know, crunched on some manna and just, you know, waited for it to all fall into their lap, but that's not the way that happens. God left us weapons of his warfare because we were going to need them, y'all. He left us weapons of warfare and the sword of his spirit because he knew that we would have to fight the good fight of faith. And that's what we have to do if we're going to take anything that's ours. Now, if you don't want to get the stuff that God has for you, that's fine. You're not going to need any of this. This doesn't apply to you. But for those of us who want what God has promised us, it applies to us. So as I was studying for this show, I was reminded of John chapter 5, the man at the pool of Bethesda. After this, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now there is in Jerusalem by the sheep gate a pool, which is called in Hebrew Bethesda, having five porches. In these lay a great multitude of sick people, blind, lame, paralyzed, waiting for the moving of the water. For an angel went down at a certain time into the pool and stirred up the water. Then whoever stepped in first after the stirring of the water was made well of whatever disease he had. Now, a certain man was there who had an infirmity 38 years. That's a long time to be sick, y'all. When Jesus saw him lying there and knew that he already had been in that condition a long time, he said to him, "Do you want to be made well?" The sick man answered him, "Sir, I have no man to put me into the pool when the water is stirred up, but while I am coming, another steps down before me." Jesus said to him, "Rise, take up your bed and walk." And immediately the man was made well, took up his bed and walked. And that day was the Sabbath. The Jews therefore said to him who was cured, "It is the Sabbath, it is not lawful for you to carry your bed." And he said, "Well, he who made me well said to me, take up your bed and walk." What Jesus was asking him is, do you want it bad enough to fight for it? Do you really want it? Do you really want to be made well? Do we really want to be healed? Because I'll tell you from my own healing journey, you have to fight for it and you have to fight hard. And it's not fun. It's really not fun to fight like that. But it's necessary. And then after you get your healing manifested, you got to fight to keep it. Did I ever mention that part, y'all? You have to fight to keep your healing. A lot of people lose their healings. It's not because they weren't healed. It's because they're not willing to fight to hold on to it. It's just part of the process. Anytime you believe the Word of God is going to be tried. The Word of God will try you to see if you really believe. I think John Morgan wrote about it in his book, America, Isaiah's Warning. The court of heaven. The Lord is a witness. His Word is a witness. I think that's the two witnesses. And then we're called as a witness. And if we agree with the Word, we can have what the Word says. If we don't agree with the Word, we don't get it. Can I just tell you that? We don't get it. You're standing on the bank of the Jordan. This is where you decide if the dream that God is offering you, your promised land, is worth it. It's one thing to have the dream. It's one thing to believe for years and years and years. Y'all, I believed for 16 years for my husband. Y'all that have been listening to me and following me for a while, you know. 16 very long, very lonely years. I believed that God had a husband for me and that he was going to bring him and he was going to be a man of God and all this stuff. And he was going to be my best friend. I have him now. But there were times when it was very hard to hold on. And I had to fight against despair. I had to fight against hopelessness. I had to fight against giving up. I mean, the question every day was, do you still believe? Do you still believe? And I would confess it out loud when the enemy would try to tell me, "Oh, he don't have no husband for you. Nobody's going to want you. Look how old you are. Look at this and that and blah, blah, blah." And finally, I was like, "Blah, blah, blah, Satan. He has one. He told me he has one, and I believe. And if it never came, I would still believe. But God did bring him. I do have him. And he's awesome." So, are you going to fight? Or are you going to give up? Because that's the only two choices that you have when you're standing on the banks of the Jordan. What does it take to cross the Jordan? Sanctification. Sanctify yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. Anything in your life that is displeasing to God can keep you from taking your promised land. Can I tell you that? If I was still living in sin, do you think God would let me have anything that I believed him for? No. Because why should he? He's not going to give you more so you can sin with that too. I'm talking to somebody tonight. I can feel it in my spirit. If there is a relation, I am talking to somebody tonight. Oh, Jesus. Okay. The Lord is showing me there is a man listening to me right now. You have got a relationship in your life with a woman who is very promiscuous, and he does not want you in that relationship, sir. You are not going to change that woman. You are not going to bring her up. The Lord is saying Satan's going to use her to bring you down. And you need to cut that thing off right now. Cut that relationship off in the name of Jesus. If you want anything that he has for you, let it go. It's not worth it. Let it go. Let it go. And there is a woman listening to me that you are chasing your career goals very hard. You really want to be successful in your career. You've worked hard and studied and all that. And you've made a lot of sacrifices for your career, but God said he wants you to sacrifice for him, not that career. He said you are so into your career that you've cut yourself off from him, and he wants you back. He said, "Choose, woman of God, choose. Choose you now whom you will serve," is what he's saying. Okay, so what else do we do? How do we cross the Jordan? okay? We sanctify ourselves because we have to clear the way, open up the channel. That's back to that pure power can't flow through a clogged up pipe. Remember me talking about that on his last show or the one before that? Okay, you must have a vision for something greater. You must have a vision in your mind of what your promised land is, okay? You should be able to see that in your mind. A vision of something greater. You know, we won't let go of anything that we have if we don't truly believe something better is there for us to hang on to, will we? Moses had a vision of something greater. Joshua definitely had a vision of something greater. Number three, we need to depend on God in His presence. Remember God saying, take off your sandal because this where you stand is holy ground. When you take off your sandal, you're giving up your own way, your own path, okay? We don't choose our path if we are surrendered to God. When you surrender your life and how you live every day. You surrender where you'll live. You surrender who you will live with. You surrender what your job will be. You surrender what your dreams and goals are for God's. You trade all that in for what God wants, okay? And then you let Him give you dreams. He gives you the desires of your heart. That's what that means. Let Him give you where you're supposed to be, who you're supposed to marry, all that. You just turn all that over to God. And boy, let me tell you what, He can make some great decisions a lot better than we can. Our bare feet mean that we don't have our own agenda anymore. We don't have our own agenda. We're going to walk His way. And then you trust God. Trust Him to get you over that Jordan, over to where you need to go. You trust Him to give you the power to defeat the enemies that are there. He's not going to fight the battle for you to take the promised land, but He will back you in your fight, okay? He will back you. Where is the power of the saints of old who knew how to grow close to God and grab hold of the horns of the altar and hang in there in prayer until the atmosphere changed and the glory of God came into the church and the miracles happened? Where is that, y'all? Where is that? We need the power of God in our lives, and we can't get it if we're not willing to really persevere and worship and spend time with Him and spend time in His Word. We have to, y'all. We can talk about Him all day long. We can sing about Him. But we have to be with Him. If we don't go aside with Him and commune with His Spirit, what's going to happen when the really bad stuff hits where we live? What's going to happen? Jesus already did His part in the fight, and He left us the weapons to carry it on. We can't be like the man at the Pool of Bethesda. We can't just lay around and, you know, lays back and watch for the butterflies and daisies to show up. Jesus fought to defeat your sin and your bad attitudes. Are you free? He fought for your healing. Are you healed? He fought for you to have all your needs supplied. Are your needs met? Exodus 15:3 says, "The Lord is a man of war. The Lord is His name." 2 Corinthians 10:4 says, "The weapons of our warfare," and what they are. The weapons are of our warfare are not carnal. Therefore, pulling down principalities and powers. Okay? Jesus did a lot for us, y'all. More than we will ever be able to repay Him. But the least we can do is use what He gave us. When your circumstances are the biggest mountains. In Matthew 21, Jesus said, you know, if you have faith and don't doubt, that you can speak to a fig tree and make it wither up. He told us that if we had faith, we could make a mountain move, a whole mountain. So if your circumstances look like mountains, start speaking to them, y'all. That's what I do anyway. Don't be willing for Satan to put you in a prison. Don't be his victim. Don't be his target. Be willing to stand up, not just for yourself, but for Jesus. Stand up and speak and act on the word. So you can claim what He's got for you. You're on the threshold of the Jordan. And it's up to you. If you want to go in and take your promised land, come on, let's go. Let's go. That's where I'm going. I'm going after mine. One of the best stories in the Bible of someone who was unwilling to fight, and I'm not saying I blame him for what he was going through, but in Matthew 26, Jesus took the disciples to Gethsemane. He said, "Sit here while I go over there and pray." Then he took Peter, James, and John with him, and he began to be very sorrowful and troubled because he was about to be crucified. And he said to them, "My soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death. Stay here and keep watch with me." And then going a little further and praying more, Jesus fell with his face to the ground, and he prayed, "My Father, if it is possible, may this cup be taken from me, yet not as I will, but as you will." And when he went back, he found him sleeping. He said to Peter, "Could you not watch with me for 1 hour? Watch and pray so you will not fall into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the body is weak." The spirit is willing, but the body is weak. Peter was a willing disciple, and he sought to exercise his faith. But one of the things he's best remembered for was in the courtyard of the house of Caiaphas, the high priest, where Peter proved unwilling to stand up and fight for Jesus, unwilling to even acknowledge that he knew Jesus. Remember that? And what was really wild about that is it wasn't even in front of the high priest or a court, but a young servant girl that he denied Jesus. Remember that? And Peter was definitely willing, but his body was weak. He just wasn't up to a fight. He was grieved over what was happening to Jesus and probably exhausted from where they'd been walking all day and everything. And his mind and his resolve were weak. And when he looked at the strength in his body and he thought, "Oh, I just can't do this," when he tried to fight it in the world, according to the world's rules and ways, he lost. He denied Jesus and was, in a sense, defeated by that young servant girl. But we know that his denial was a fulfillment of Jesus' prophecy, what Jesus said was to come. And, Jesus knew that Peter loved him and he was loyal to him. Peter denied him, but he was also the first to confess that Jesus was the Messiah, wasn't he? And that he was the Son of the living God. So, anyway, we cannot expect a faith walk without a fight. It don't happen that way. That's why 1 Timothy 6:12 says, "Fight the good fight of faith." Fight the good fight. We're told to fight, so we should fight. And we do that fighting by confessing the word of God, by using the sword of the Spirit, which is confessing. Whatever the enemy tells you you're not going to get, you just need to rebuke him with the word of God. Whatever it is you're trying to lay hold of, you need to lay hold of it with the word of God. That's how I laid hold of my healing. I continually spoke, "I am healed by the stripes of Jesus. I'm healed by the stripes of Jesus." And I would quote scriptures. That's how, and if when my provision doesn't seem to be in sight, I will say, "Glory to God, my needs are met. He'll supply all my needs according to his riches in Christ Jesus." You quote the scripture and you say it out loud where the devil can hear you too, and where you can hear yourself. If you've got demons tormenting you, and I get emails all the time from people that need help with deliverance, y'all, or that don't know what to do. If demons are tormenting you, find out how to do spiritual warfare and get to fighting back at them. Fight back. You can make them leave you alone. As long as there is no legal right in your life, no curse that gives them an open door, you can make them leave and stay gone. That's the bottom line. But you have to sometimes do some investigation, a little bit of studying. And when you get them out of there, I will tell y'all from the bottom of my heart, it is the most peaceful life. All day long and at night, you are so at peace because the demons aren't getting to you anymore. They're not tormenting you. They're not putting thoughts in your mind and cravings in your body. But you have to fight to get rid of them if they are on you. Okay? We have to fight, y'all. Be willing to fight to take your promised land. Don't believe that it's just going to fall in your lap, because it's not going to just fall in your lap. That's not the way this works. The Israelites had to fight to take theirs. We have to fight to take ours too. You choose. I want to play for you now a beautiful song composed by my precious friend, Nicole Guillory. It's called "In the Midst of the Storm." I think it goes perfectly with this show. I just love that song, In the Midst of the Storm. Hopefully soon we'll have a song by Nicole where she's singing. I'm trying to get that. Father, I lift every listener to you right now. I pray, Father, that you would infuse all of us with a great amount of your courage, like what you gave Joshua when it was time to cross over the Jordan. Give us the courage, Father, to stand up and fight, to take what you have so graciously given to us. In the name of Jesus, bless everyone who's listening, Lord. Amen. Thank you so much for listening. I pray that you have a really, really blessed week. God bless you.
Thank you so much for tuning in to hear Glenda Linkous on Wings Radio. We hope that you've been encouraged and inspired in your daily walk with Christ. You can find more of Glenda's talks on her YouTube channel, Texas Author and the Number One. You can contact Glenda by email at wingsofprophecy@gmail.com or by mail at Glenda Linkous, P.O. Box 127, Princeton, Texas 75407. Wings Radio is a non-denominational program and is not affiliated with any other church or nonprofit organization.